Yeah, so just to go back to, remember from last week, Rafi is bothered by the problem, so let's think about it again. So remember the question we said, the essential machlokas we said about the chinuch, 16 to 22 or 18-24, was what's the essential method in chinuch? Is it essentially like an intellectual method where you're getting him chachma, or is it like based on the emotion of the father-son dynamic, right? So what's bothering Rafi is what's the deal? It would seem we should go with an intellectual approach. What's the deal? You know, it sounds funny. Sounds bothersome, like that. That's the essential approach. So I was thinking is that one factor, one main factor here to consider is that the institution of tochacha, of rebuke, is talking about where the guy's going wrong. Right? I mean, if you teach a guy and he's going on the right path and the right derech, then you don't have to give him a rebuke. The rebuke is where a kid is going off the path, or he's going, I mean, whatever his off the path may be. I mean, if he's a high-level guy, off the path might be, you know, he's not learning enough. But whatever it is, it's where you're taking the father is in a position where the kid is, if he sees the kid veering from the derech, following some emotion, right, he's going to try to put him back on the road. Okay? So essentially what you're doing is you're trying to attack an emotion which is going astray. Right, and that's what it's for. It's not just teaching him philosophy. Of course, teach him philosophy. But the question is, let's say you see in your kid Mida where he's going astray and he's really following a bad path. Right, now you have to somehow get him back on the good path. So you have to now. You can't just. The problem is just telling him the right idea is that he's obviously under the sway of an emotion. It's not like you never taught him ideas before. You taught him ideas, but now he's under the sway of some emotion which is pulling him the other way. Now the question, you have to offset that somehow. Now, it would seem as though there's two approaches to offsetting that. I mean, the question is, you have this emotion which you have to deal with. So one way to deal with an emotion, as strong as it is simply like chachma. Okay? Head on. Okay? It's true you have a creator, your emotions, your emotion is strong emotion leading you astray. But basically, one approach is you show you learn the true idea. You know, you give the guy the concept, and you show him the mistake, and you show him the idea, and then the guy with his bechira will be able to, hopefully, will be able to choose chachma over the emotion. That's one approach. That's one approach. But it's a hard approach. It's a hard approach because it's a strong emotion, and it's in full force. The only thing is you got to go with, the guy basically has to decide to abandon the emotion and to follow his mind. Which works sometimes, but sometimes the guy fails in his bechira. It's difficult. But of course, the only thing is, you got to make sure you do it in a time where the guy is not going to rebel. Right? Because that's the thing. If he's too old, if he's already over 24, then you don't want to do it because there's a risk. There's a big risk that he's going to turn away. I guess when he's younger, even with the approach of chachma, you don't have the danger of him just turning away, you know, turning away completely. So there is... Essentially, though, the approach is an approach to the chachma. That's one way to look at it. Essentially, you're giving the concept, the idea, but you just don't want to do it in a way, you know, where you think he's going to turn away. You don't want to break the relationship. So you do it in a way where he still has a certain dependence on the father, but essentially the approach is through a chachma. But there's another approach. There's another approach to dealing with emotion, which is that first you do is you neutralize the emotion. And how do you neutralize the emotion? But it's the counter emotion. And the problem is he's being drawn, let's say, by some emotion towards some other thing, you know, something against Torah. Now, if the father puts pressure, so what he does is he's doing two things. One thing is he neutralizes, he provides another emotion, because the kid wants the approval of the father. So therefore, he gives him an emotion, which his emotions now are ever in conflict, because a part of him wants the taiva, a part of him wants the approval of the father, right? So that alone would just put him in emotional conflict. And that alone isn't the solution, because you see, like, you don't do it when he's too young. But that alone puts him in a situation where now he could really see the idea, could see the concept, and he could get him with chachma. You know what I mean? So the chachma, there is chachma in the approach, and that's why you have to wait till he's 16, till he has a mind, till his mind is developed to a certain degree. But the point is essentially the approach of the way you're beating this emotion which is leading him astray is through the father, which counters that emotion. And then, only then, does it involve chachma. So he has to be at a point where he has chachma, but essentially what's destroying or taking on the taiva, taking on the count of the thing, is not the chachma per se. Because the chachma, it's a nice idea, in theory, it's a great idea, but it demands a feat of bechira, it's hard to do. So this shita holds is that the institution of chanochim al pidarko, of the mitzvah of chinuch, of tochacha, is not just hitting him head on with the idea, but it's to use the an emotion which will counterbalance his emotion towards the taiva, and then the chachma come in. But if that's the case, the chachma doesn't have to be that he's the biggest genius; he's fully developed in his intellect. The main thing is because that's not the chachma. Just is what once you neutralize the emotion, then as long as he has a mind, then he can think clearly about how to live his life. Then he'll be fine because you've already neutralized the emotion. I mean, but if that's the case, that essentially it's by neutralizing emotion, then it has to be the full form of the dependency. So that's why it has to be below 22. You know what I mean? So again, the question boils down to is there's the two approaches to dealing with a strong emotion which is leading a guy astray. One approach is simply an approach of chachma or the bechira. The guy basically gives him the opposite of the ideas, and he has to decide. The other way is an easier type of an approach, so to speak. Which is, although not ideal. Ideally, the best approach is the approach of the given idea, and he decides to clear. But it's more difficult to have success in that approach. So the other approach is no, to neutralize the emotion with the counter emotion, and then you give him. Then he'll have the idea. So the question is, which one did the mitzvah of chinuch of telchacha grab hold of? Which approach? Right, is the ideal approach, but it's more difficult, or the more practical, easier type of an approach? You know, and just to give an instance of that, I was saying in the parsha, I think I heard Rabbi talk about it once, this idea of like the two kinds of bechira. But like by Yosef, by the explaining of Chazal, Yosef by Potiphar, by Eshes Potiphar, you know. So it says that she was basically she was trying to seduce him, right? And he controlled himself, right? So it says, as a Rashi, as Chazal, he brings it down. As a Rashi brings it down, but it's really, he doesn't have the whole thing. But it says, really, it says Yosef planned to do chay, basically, it says, according to this Pshad and Rashi. Lasos Tarkov, he says, Las Malachtam, means he really was stuck around in order to have beer with her. But it says, Niroslo Demus Diuk Noshel Aviv. It says, like, the form of his father appeared in his mind. And I think it said, I think the Chazal there says, like he thought that it told him something that if he sleeps with her, then he's not going to have his name on the ephod or something. Like, his name isn't going to be amongst the shvatim, because this would be his downfall, you know? So the idea I heard, I think in the name of Rabbi, or maybe I heard Rabbi say it, is that basically he was under the sway of a strong taiva. Now, a strong taiva, because the question is, what's he have to do with the Yeknosh Alav? He's just have Hashem. Hashem, it's a chait. He'll realize the chait, and I can't do chait, and that's it. What's the idea of having the image of his father telling him that he's not going to have his name on the stones of the ephod? I mean, that sounds like an emotional plea to the, you know. It's not the chachma. It's a chait. That's it. You can't do it. But the idea was that he was in a state where the emotion was too strong, and the way he beat it, there's this another way to beat the emotion isn't by countering the chachma, but it's on his own terms. Is you are looking for the emotion because you think it'll be good for your emotions, or you'll get a certain. You know, you'll feel powerful, you'll have it kind of, you get Ashes Potiphar, there'll be a certain type of emotional satisfaction for you. But even in your emotional world, you're really going to lose everything. It's not worth it. It's not worth it emotionally, you know what I mean? And I guess, I'm not sure, it sounds like there's two things. One thing is either the father, you know, like the approval of the father. But another thing is that other thing of like his ego, is like he'd lose the, you know, in terms of his emotions. Again, in terms of emotions, he'd lose his place in the Shvatim. So when it was there, the way he beat the emotion, according to that Chazal, is by counter emotion. You know what I mean? And then he could be able to think rationally. But the emotion is blinding. The emotion is blinding. So sometimes a person could know it's another method of beating their emotions is if it's too strong for you is really to see how even in your emotions it doesn't make any sense. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, one way is to say in your emotions it makes sense, but Chachma dictates it's a chait. But in other ways, even your emotions, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, the guy could abandon taivas because taivas aren't going to, you know, just not going to be happy. It's just not going to be worth it. You know what I mean? You're going to do this thing. It's just not going to. Psychologically, it's not going to help. It's not going to help you out. Another thing is, the different discussion is: look, it's asur. That's it. Period. You know, so asur takes a higher level. You know, if a person thinks emotionally it'll be good for him, but it's asur, then that already demands he just. Following chachma and abandoning his emotions, but a different method is just to say your emotions are, you know, it's not worth it emotionally. So that's what I'm saying is that approach that sheet that holds that it's basically the emotional thing is like it's more akin to this thing like with this Chazal by Yosef, you know, that the way in which you get countering, you have a strong emotion of the kid where he's rebelling against the father, or going away, rebelling against Torah, going on a path which is not proper. It's an emotional thing. So how do you get him back? What's the mitzvah of a tochacha? Is the mitzvah of tochacha go by that approach, that there's a fatherly approval that the kid's looking for, and therefore it formalizes that as a mitzvah of a tochacha, and you should set up the mitzvah around that. Or you say, no, is that the tochacha is basically a bechira. You give him chachma in the highest form, and that's the mitzvah. Now you try to do it in a way where he's not gonna be boeit, so you don't do it when he's already independent. You do it before he's at that point. But essentially, it's an appeal of chachma. You know what I mean? That's why it says the Gemara just says chanochel alpidarka. But it can't mean Rashi takes it out a simple pshat, because it can't mean chinuch is only when the kid's 16 to 24. I mean chinuch is always. You know, but that's what he says. It's alpidarko. You're trying to set in him a derech that he's going to follow for his whole life, and the cases where you have to be mochiach him, and that's particularly a certain type of an age. That's a certain type of a situation which Rashi puts the Gemara to be talking about. There are definitely two approaches of dealing with the situation. I think they're just arguing about what the mitzvah of chanochel alpidarko is grabbing hold of, which method is the mitzvah. I mean, everyone would agree, it would seem philosophically, the best approach would be the chachma approach. If a guy would be able to be successful in choosing his mind over his emotions, that's the best approach. I mean, that's the pure approach, you know. But practically speaking, a better, a more effective approach, probably your odds would be higher on the other approach, you know. Now, which one did the mitzvah grab hold of? So to speak, the better or the more effective? You know what I mean? That's just the way of saying it, you know what I mean? But so we're going further. So it's Lamed Amar Aleph. Okay? Lamed Amar Aleph, Kedushin. Arichan Chayev Adam Lamed Espino Torah. So until where is a person Chayev to teach his son Torah? Okay? It's not exactly clear what it's asking, right? Okay. And that's exactly, the Gemara is not clear. The Gemara is going to have two different ways to interpret it. Okay? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So it answers, Kigon Zvulun Ben Dan, like Zvulun Ben Dan. Rashi says, here's a Talmud that existed back then, back in the days of the Amoraim. He was one of the guys. So Shalimdo Avi Aviv, his grandfather taught him Mikra, Umishnah, Vitalmud, Halachos, Vilagados. A lot of things. So he taught him Mikra, right? That's Psukim. Mm-hmm. Mishnah is Talmud. So Gemara, Halachos. Do you question what that means? I think it means maybe. Where did I see they explain this? Yeah, let's say just Halachos means Halacha. I mean, like Halacha, the psaks from the Gemaras. You know what I mean? Halachos. I think. I mean, I'm just saying that. But it's Mustafa, that's what it means. And then, Agadatos. So basically, what's included in this? Everything. Right? Basically everything. Okay, it seems like everything. So, Adhechon Chaylon Stambino Torah. So it sounds like it's answering, basically, until he knows everything. Right? I mean, you gotta... Right? So it sounds like it's answering, right? So the Gemara says, Meisvei. We have a brisa that contradicts this. Right? Lamdo Mikra, in Lamdo Mishnah. If you teach him Mikra, Psukim. Okay? You don't have to teach him Mishnah. So that's enough. Amar Rava, Mikra Zu Torah. And what does it mean, Mikra? Torah, Rashi, v'lo'on nor v'yom k'suvim. Right? How does he know that? How do you know it means v'lo'on v'yom k'suvim? I think Rashi knows it because the Braisa says Mikra. It says if you teach him Mikra, then you don't teach him anything else. And then the Rava says Mikra means Torah. We know what Mikra means, right? I mean, what does Mikra mean? If Mikra meant Tanakh, then Rava doesn't have to tell you Mikra means Tanakh. I mean, what else can it mean? Mikra means Pesachim. Obviously, Mikra is Pesachim. So it sounds like Mikra Zu Torah is only Torah. That's what he means, only Torah as opposed to Tanakh. I mean, otherwise Rava's not doing anything. You don't need Rava to translate to you that Mikra means Pesachim. We know that's what Mikra means. So it must be that he's telling you he's limiting it only to Torah and not Tanakh. I'm just pshat, you know. So let's see Rashi. The Rashi before that. Einam alam the Mishnah, why? In chovas b'no, a love, ela b'mikra. The chiv of his son is only on him, but with regard to Mikra. Mikan ve'elech yilmodu la'atzma. After the father teaches the kid Mikra, Torah, then basically the kid has to learn on his own. Okay? So that is being brought in as a stira to Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, whose answer, he was saying that Yechayev like to do like Zvul Mendan, which means you have to teach him everything. Right? It doesn't seem really from this brisa that you have to teach him everything. It seems on the contrary. You have to teach him very little. Torah. Right? Not even Nach. Certainly not Mishnah and Mikra and Mishnah and Gemara and Halachos and Agados. I mean, it's a big, pretty big discrepancy. So that's a problem, right? That's what I was asking. Okay, so what I was asking is the brisa openly says you don't have to teach him all this stuff. So the Gemara answers, no. Kizvulam Mindan Vilo Kizvulam Mindan. Okay? No. When Rabbi Yonah or Shmuel was saying is that you have to teach him like Shmuel, like Zvul Mendan, it meant like Zvul Mendan in one regard, but not like Zvul Mendan in another regard. Kizvul Mendan Shalom Do Avi Aviv. It means like Zvul Mendan that his grandfather taught him. Because if you look closely, it says Zvul Mendan's grandfather taught him Mikra Mishnah, right? So in that regard, the halacha, the Rabbi Yonah Shmuel saying that it was Zvul Mendan is right. That the grandfather is chayiv to teach his grandson Torah. Vilokas Vulamindan, but however, it's not like Zulamindan, the Ilu Hasam Mikra Mishnah Talmud Halachas Agadas. Because by Zulamindan, he actually told him all this stuff. Vilu Hacham Mikra Levad. But over here, all you really have to teach him is Mikra. Because in that regard, we pass him against Zulamindan. Or we don't go like the case of Zulamindan. Right? Because the Brisa openly says all you have to do is Mikra. Okay? Yerashi. So when it says Arhechan Hachi Kamri, Arhechan Adam Chayev Lomod Torah Bidorosav, it doesn't mean how far is a father chayev to teach a son, how far Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, all that stuff. Rather, it means how far in generations is a person chayev to teach Torah. Amar Rav Yehuda Livno Leven Beno. And his answer is basically your son and your grandson. That's how far. Okay? Fine. You have here, so what are the facts? So basically, you have a question, I mean, presumably machlokes or avin maskana, about how much you'd have to teach and what do you have to teach? So, what the father's chiyuv teach a son is? Is it only Torah? Only Torah? Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim? Okay, or does it go basically extend to everything, kol Torah kula, essentially? Right? That's one question out here. The other question is the grandfather thing, you know? I mean, maybe let's just finish the Gemara. Okay, so let's go a little further in the Gemara, okay? Might as well finish it up. So it says, so the Gemara says, the Avi Aviv Mimachayv. So you're telling me that what does it mean, Adheichan? It means in terms of how many generations. And they're answering the grandfather, right? But that also, Tanya, but that also has a brisa which is against it. So you're not really gaining anything by telling me that it means like Zul Mindan, not in the regard of the Mikra Mishnah, because that there's a brisa against it, but there's a brisa against it, this the part of the grandfather part also. Tanya, v'ilimaditem osam es b'nechem. V'lo, b'nei b'nechem. Right? B'nechem is to the exclusion of b'nei b'nechem. Your grandsons, I umani mekayim v'odatim v'nechol v'nevanecha. Right, the different pasuk says you should make it known to your son and your grandsons. Right, so you see, apparently there is a din of grandsons. Open pasuk, right? It's a contradiction. One says umanim is benechem, another pasuk says benechem nevanecham, benechem nevanecham. The lo malachot shekom lamin is beno Torah. My love, because of kilu lamdu lo alvanu atzof kol doros. So it wrestle with it. No, really, the chiyuv is only teach your son. But if you teach your son, it's as if you taught your son and your grandson through all the generations. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean that you're chayiv to teach your grandson. It means, no, you're only chayiv to teach your son. So this brisa openly says, you're not chayiv to teach your grandson. So, again, you have a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel can't be talking about Mikra Mishnah because that there's a brisa that says only Mikra. And it can't be talking about the grandsons because you have an open brisa also that says that you only have to teach your son. Right? So the Gemara says, no. Huda Amar Ki Haitana. This, in this regard, it's true it is against the Brisa, but there's another Brisa. Right? There's another Brisa which says to the contrary. Right? Which says, argues. Two Brisas. The Tanya, Vlimata Masam Espanecham, Ainli El Benecham, Bene Benecham Menayin. Daddy know it's your grandsons also. Tamid Lomar Vilatasa Venecha, Bene Benecha. Right? It really goes with the other pasuk. And so the other pasuk is literal. That really teach your son and your grandson. So what's the question going to be? The first pasuk, which says you only have to teach your son. So, why does that sound like only b'nechem? B'nechem, v'lo b'noseichem. Now, that's not excluding your grandsons. That's excluding your daughters. That's what that's excluding. So that there's machlokes tanam about. When it says you have two psukim, it says b'neichem in one pasuk, b'nei b'neicha, you know, the grandchildren also in the other pasuk. So which one is literal and which one is a limud? Right? Do you say that b'neichem is literal means only your children, not your grandchildren? And the pasuk which says your grandchildren means if you teach your child, it says if you're teaching your grandchildren also. Or you say the other way, no, your grandchildren is literal. And when it says b'neichem, it means to exclude your daughters. Okay, so that basically a machlokes tanaim. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is basically saying, like the side who holds, like Zuhal Madan, like the side who holds, you have to do even your grandson. So that's a machlokes. So that's one. So one machlokes here is about how many generations you have to teach, and the other Havim Meina Maskana, which seems it's not really machlokes because it seems like the one concludes, but the Havim Maskana is about how far you have to teach. You have to teach him only Mikra or all the stuff, Mikra Mishnah, the Gemara, Halachas Agadas. Okay, any questions? Any questions? I mean, of course, you have to define these issues, right? I mean, that's one thing. But any problems? Any issues? Any questions? Sure, that's a good question, Michael. Yes, is like on the Gemara, which is say, "Vodato v'necha v'neva necha." So if you say it means you only have to teach your son, so what's the positive of v'neva necha teaching? You're saying if you teach your son, it's like you're teaching your grandson all the generations. I mean, that's a limud. Like that's a nice philosophical point, but. What kind of limud is that? You know what I mean? Like, what's it seems you have to have a halachic limud here. I mean, like the other guy says, b'neichem lo b'noseichem. That's a halacha. But you tell me, it says, b'neichem b'neichem necha to teach you that it's as if you're teaching every generation. That's a funny... What kind of halacha is that? I mean, it doesn't seem like... I don't know. It doesn't seem like you're allowed to give those answers when you ask those kind of questions, you know? It's teaching you a philosophical idea. I mean, you get rid of all the limudim. All you give me those. You see a lot of answer things like that. Right? And it's a good question. I think that's a question. The question is it sounds crazy. I mean, you only have to teach your son Mikra? I mean, that's it? Mikra, Torah? I mean, at what age is am I going to finish that? When he turns 8 years old, 10 years old, and then what? I mean, then he's on his own? Then he's on his own? I mean, that's... What about Masorah? I mean, it sounds like... What happened to Masorah here? I mean... You would have, if I would have asked you this, what's the father chayv teach his son? You would have answered me, Mikra, Mishnah, Halachos, Agadas, right? I mean, that's what you think. And what's the... In the Kapach, the Kapach Ramam, he asked the question. I have to check it up, but I'll check it out. But I have it in my notes. His question was, is that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in that Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, says, Ben Asara L'Mishnah. Okay, 10 years old is the age for Mishnah. When he talks about the different ages he teaches things, he has, I think, 10 years old is the age for Mishnah. So he says, so the kid's still a katan. So what the Gemara here seems like Rashi's saying is that once he teaches him Mikra, then the rest is on him. But 10 years old is the age of teaching Mishnah. Now, the kid's a katan. He's not chayav mitzvah at age 10. So what do you mean he's going to teach it on himself? Well, at bar mitzvah, maybe he'll teach himself, but at age 10, he's chayav to teach. I mean, you're kind of leaving your kid off pretty early if you're just going to stop at Mikra. It just sounds hard. I mean, it doesn't really jive with all your ideas about Masorah and we went to Muslims Menachem and the Daberbam, Meshitra. What? Because I taught him Mikra when he was 7 years old. You know what I mean? Like it just seems like it's pretty minimal. It's kind of gutting the whole thing, and that's what he thought. Well, Mandan has the right idea, but it's kind of like what's. I mean, I think that's what you have to find. I mean, the Havamina is very good. The whole thing here is Masorah, and Masorah is. Can't just have Mikra, what's Masorah without Torah Baal Peh, without a Mikra Mishnah, Godless, Halachas, all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty minimal. You stop stopping very early. And then the kid will get on his own. Hopefully. I mean, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I mean, it's pretty, it's cutting it down pretty severely. It's true, we don't know exactly what Mikra means. Does Mikra mean like a blind, just teach him how to read the words, or teach him ideas, concepts? Presumably it means some ideas about the Mikra. It's not just an empty Mikra, but... But it's certainly hard to say that's called Tarkula, or that's, you know, I mean, it's still minimal. I mean, it's still minimal. It's only Torah, no Nach. I mean, I'm not saying, again, a guy could learn Mikra his whole life. I don't think it means he's going through all the Yisodei Hadas and all the abstract Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava that he could derive from the Mikra. I mean, maybe it's hard to imagine that's what it means. I mean, seems like it means Mikra. I mean, of course, teach him ideas. I mean, no doubt, there are a lot of Yesodos. I mean, presumably it means with the Yesodos. I mean, you have a lot of Limudim from the Mikra. I mean, with good ideas. It doesn't mean you teach him all the Midrashim. You teach him all the concepts, basic concepts in the Mikra. A lot of concepts. I'm not denying a lot of concepts. But you see, there's a path. That's a complex question is, you see, we have a path. The path is a 10-star Mishnah. I mean, the route to really unlocking the Mikra is through becoming a Lamdan, and then you have a mind, and then you can, the Lamdan is through the Torah Shabbat Pah. I mean, you can't just only do Mikra. mean, what's only mikra? We don't have a system like that anyway. We have a system of Tosh Ba'al, you know, everything. Okay, yeah, fine. So, and so just another question I was having is, question was that it seems from the Gemara, and this is the point Michael was pointing out, is like, since from the Gemara at first thought when it's saying Kizvul Mendan, it meant they taught him all the stuff, you know? But it says, no, it didn't mean that. It meant the other things. So Mendan, like the grandfather point. I mean, is there some relationship between these things somehow? Or is it just like, basically, Zvul Mendan did both of these things, and it happened to be Zvul Mendan did two things. There were two things that happened in the Zvul Mendan, which were unique about him, and there was just Gemara didn't know which one did it mean. Or is there some sort of some relationship between the two aspects or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just like a funny, like, what was exactly the Hamina Skan of the Gemara? Just like a misunderstanding. The Gemara thought it meant this, but didn't really mean that. It meant that, as you know. Or is there some ideas going on here? Something more than just a misunderstanding. In order to answer that question, you're going to have to understand, have an idea about both of these things in order to know the connection between the two. But I'm just throwing it out. It's in the Gemara. It's unsatisfying a little bit, though, the Gemara, the way the Gemara is written. It's somewhat like a factual mistake about how to read the thing. You know, I mean, look, you could say that's the way it is. But if there's some idea there, it would be nice. But you're right, we can't answer it yet. I'm just throwing out the question. I think the most powerful question we should try to answer is, what's the deal with this thing of only Mekar? You know what I mean? What's happening? It's a maskana, but essentially the problem. The maskana is the problem. Strange. It's a strange problem. It's a strange maskana. Just to throw out an approach, okay? Throw it out, okay? So the question is like this. Why is the father chayev to teach us? Well, here's one essential point I think is important. Is that the din of mesorah means that basically everyone has to know Torah, right? Torah must be known in the world. Okay, everyone has to know Torah. Now, essentially, how does that take place? I'd say essentially it takes place is through each guy learning. In Talmud Torah, essentially, is each guy learns on his own. Each guy learns on his own. Okay? But you see that's right, I mean, ultimately, every Gadol, anyone in Torah really doesn't. I mean, the father is a part of the thing, but essentially, each guy, the real Masorah is the guy learning on his own. I mean, getting knowledge, acquiring knowledge on his own. But you see, there is a role of the father teaching his son. That's another. There's certainly like there are two components of this mitzvah. So there's two, how do you understand that? You could say is that essentially the chiyuv of mesorah has two forms. There's a chiyuv of the father to transmit the mesorah to his son, and then there's a chiyuv on the son to acquire mesorah on his own. Which is basically a guy will get knowledge of Torah through two methods. Father has to teach him the mesorah, and then when he grows up, he has to learn the mesorah himself. He has to learn Torah himself. That's one way to understand it. If you understand it that way, then the father's going to have to teach him. What?
You're going to say Mikra?
No. Okay. Everything. Because the Mesorah is everything. And if you tell me that the Mesorah is satisfied through two methods, basically he learns it on his own and his father teaches him, then what is the Mesorah? The Mesorah is Kol Torah Kula. So he's Chai to learn Kol Torah Kula, his father's Chai to teach him Kol Torah Kula. I mean, there's two people in the Torah entrusted or put this goal, this responsibility on two people. Put it on the father and then also on him. Okay? But I think that the problem is that it's difficult. It's a difficult formulation because the Torah put the responsibility on two people. Why do you have a mitzvah on two people? I mean, it's one goal. So just, why it's a funny thing. You say the same exact thing is on two people. So on this I'd say no. I'd say in line, at least so far, maybe we'll make this better, we'll change it, we'll say. But let's say, so far you could say it's the same way we've been learning the mitzvah of Ben Olav in general. Is that really the obligation, really the halacha of the knowledge of Torah is each person's responsibility in his own? How do you gain that? Whose responsibility is to get knowledge of Torah? Every person has to get it on his own. Just like every person has to do every mitzvah on his own. Every mitzvah, essentially, mitzvahs are a personal pursuit. And each guy has to learn Torah. It's his responsibility to learn Torah and to become one who knows the Torah. And that's how the Mesorah is going to be maintained. Each person knows on his own. The only problem is that a kid is too young. I mean, the problem is that it's hard to just wake up when you're intelligent and you're 13 or whatever and to start learning Torah. I mean, it's difficult to ask. It's much easier. The more efficient method in terms of the system is to have kids knowing Torah. Problem is that kids can't teach themselves Torah. And even though the primary form of the mitzvah of Torah and of Mesorah is you learn on your own, practically speaking, it's not a guy can't what's a guy gonna do? Just start teaching yourself Torah. So what it did is it's mitzvah ben alav. Like the other mitzvah ben alav. is that namely the Torah shifted the responsibility onto the father. It shifted the responsibility, even though it's the mitzvah saben, it's the son's mitzvah, it shifted, it was mechayev, the father, in doing that mitzvah, in giving the son, doing it for the son, because the son can't do it on his own. So if that's the case, the question is how much, how far was the Torah mechayev? How much of this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, really is called Torah? Right, which means Mikra Mishnah Talachta Gemara Alach Zagados. Right, now how much of this was necessary to shift to the father, and how much of it was left in the primary form? Okay, in the primary form of he learning himself. So what it's saying is all that was necessary is Mikra, as apparently there's the real mitzvah is really the kid learning it. But what the Torah did is that which is impossible for the kid to do on his own, it shifted to the father. Now what's impossible? Step one, basically, you can't get started on your own. Can't get started on your own. So the Torah started step one. So hold on. The Torah started step one and said is that Mikra, I'm not just saying step one, it was the Torah, it was the question is what was necessary for the father, what part of the Limud Torah, the Mitzvah Limud Torah is necessary to, is the kid too young and too unable to really do on his own? So apparently the saying is Mikra. Mikra was is necessary to teach the kid on his own. See, the premise we were coming in with is that there's intrinsically the father has to give the kid Masorah. Okay, and then the question is, so why cut it short? Why cut it in half? Why cut the Masorah up into pieces? But now I'm saying is no, the really essentially the kid, the father shouldn't be chayiv. Really, the person should be chayiv to teach himself Torah. The only thing is that the reason why the father's chayiv is because of the necessity, because the kid can't teach himself Torah. Now, what can he teach himself? He can't teach himself Mikra. But once the father teaches him Mikra, now he has enough to pursue it on his own, and he'll find the rabbi, he'll find the whatever, and he'll get it on his own. It's his chayiv, it's his responsibility, he has to work it out somehow. But it's a certain amount, it's not practical. It's not practical that the kid's going to just start from square one. So you have to give him the basic foundation, which step one is Torah. Step one is Torah. I mean, Torah is a unit. I mean, the question about someone just teaching Bereishis, I say two things. First of all, practically speaking, teaching Bereishis is not, I mean, you have to teach him, it's not going to work. Practically, you have to teach him a certain amount in order. And his earliest learning, his first few years of learning, are Torah. That once he gets that, he can have a knowledge base where he can now pursue, get moving. But I say, anyways, in terms of halacha, I mean, there's no unit called Bereishis. In terms of Lima Torah, there's units of Hischaivos. So Torah is the most basic unit. I mean, that's step one is Torah. There's no thing of just the first seven psukim in Torah. There's not a unit in terms of a mitzvah. I mean, it's a mitzvah. So the most basic unit is Torah. Simply Torah. I mean, apparently Nach is separate, but Torah is, there's no difference in the limud of Bereishis and limud of Shemos. It's limud of Torah. That's Torah. Torah is the unit. There's no separate of the books. I mean, it's true Torah is Chamisha Svar, Chamisha Torah. But the unit of limud is Torah. That's the most basic unit of limud. So the responsibility, but the point is that the Torah only did that which was absolutely necessary. That's the main point. My main point is that the Torah only gives Machayev the father because it's not possible for a son, a kid, a 5-year-old kid, to start teaching himself. I mean, how are you going to do? What's he going to start? Go out to a rabbi and look for, I mean, he's too young. So just like in all the other myths, just like Mila. Why is the Torah Machayev the father of Mila? Because how's a kid going to do Mila for himself? But you see the essential thing we saw is like Kares is really the kid. But he can't be Machayev a kid to do Mila for himself. He can't be Machayev a kid to do Pidgin for himself. He can't be Machayev a kid to teach himself an Omnus. Like all these things. So the way you do it is through the father. But therefore, if that's the case, it's only going to grab onto that which is not possible for a kid to do. So the first step is apparently all that was necessary. That's what Rashi says. That's why I think Rashi, if you look at Rashi, I think he's really pointing to it. Because he says, "Ein chovas b'no alav." That's in Rashi. Ein lan mishnah. Ein chovas b'no alav el b'mikra. Notice the son's chiyuv is only on him and mikra. So you see, he's openly saying, what does he mean? It's the chovas b'no which is upon him. So they're saying that chovas b'no was only placed upon him in mikra. But he says mikan ve'elach yilmud hu latzmo. After that, he's not just saying practically after he learned on his own. He means because that's the real mitzvah. The mitzvah is mitzvah beno. It's like a mitzvah ben alav. Like the whole context of this whole sugya is that the really this is a mitzvah ben alav. It's a mitzvah of the son. It's just that it was transferred. The mitzvah of the son was placed on the father, and that which is necessary. So it's only necessary for mikra. Avimina learned differently. Avimina learned that really the father's chiyuv is a din of teaching him Torah. Just like you, there's two chiyuvim. I'm chayv on my own to learn, and my father's chayv teaching me Masorah. So Masorah is everything. But I was going to say, no, there's no two people chayv Masorah, it's the son's chayv Masorah. The father's chayv, v'tor mitzvah ben alav, which means it transferred the chiyuv from the father, from the son to the father, insofar as the kid can't do it. But as soon as he's able to do it, then he'll do it. And that's what Rashi's saying, is that after that he can do it on his own. The question still, Kavach's question still bothers me. I mean, maybe, let's think about it. But as he says still, the question of Mishnah, he says, the Gemara in Pirkei Avos says that a Mishnah is for 10 years old. That's the time to start Mishnah. So it means Mikra apparently is only until he's 10, and then essentially he's ready for Mishnah. Now, the father's not chayv to teach him Mishnah. So at 10 years old, the kid's going to do it on his own. I mean, he's not chayv to do it on his own. He's not a bar mitzvah yet. So what you'll say, I mean, let's just say he naturally will do it. I mean, but if you're telling me that my whole answer is that since he's chayv, that's the primary chayv. So it should be a chayv to teach him that which, until he's bar mitzvah. So if, let's say, Mikra and Mishnah are until he's bar mitzvah, then it should be Mikra and Mishnah. I mean, it's still a good question. What's going to happen from the time he's 10 to 13? When he's 13, he'll be struck with a chiyuv, but what's it about before that point? So shouldn't the father be chayv to do that which until 13? Now, if you would have said Mikra is really up until 13, fine. But it seems like Pirkei Avos sets the course of saying Mishnah starts at 10. So, I mean, that's a good question. All right. But tomorrow we'll try to do the thing of grandfather, right? That machlokas, the grandfather. With the limudim, no thing. Let's try to work it through, okay?